Okay, today we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. Don't worry, it only gets better from here. So we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. But before we do, I just want to reiterate just another thing or two. It's okay. So there's like a month left in school, right? Is that about right? Who's two weeks? Oh my gosh, how does this happen? And then school ends in May for a lot of people, and then it starts in like August. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Before you know it, they're going to take your summer away, man. I'm telling you, we need to do something about it. We need to pray harder or something. But okay, so here's the deal. Because I know some of you guys are graduating class of 10. Is everybody at prom or something like that? Is that what happened? Is that where everybody's at, prom right now? Where'd the class of 10 go? Okay, for those of you who are still here today and you're not dancing somewhere else right now, man, that's the thing about having so many different schools in this church is everybody's off doing prom at different times. Okay, but for those of you guys who are here, in case you guys are wondering, if you're graduating this year, here's what we want to do. We want to tell you guys that we're really excited for you, and that especially if you're like 18 and stuff like that, or you're going to be 18 real soon, and you're a senior in high school, you know, we have this amazing young adults ministry coming that comes up every Friday at 7 o'clock over in our Love Rock area, and they just had a really cool worship night and stuff like that. It's our Shift Young Adults Ministry. If you guys are graduating, man, you guys need to start checking that out on Friday nights. And then what we're gonna have to do is come September, have to kick you out because you're too old. If you're a senior, man, but come September, man, you'd be too old to go to youth. I mean, can you imagine that? Too old. But that's okay though, because if you really, 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 really like youth and you're like graduating this year, that's okay. You can still be a youth worker. So just talk to any one of the youth workers here. We'll get you guys going with youth workers, stuff like that. You can still go to camp this year if you're a senior. That's okay. You can still be a camper, or you could even be a junior counselor if we need you. So that's kind of stuff what's going up with our seniors and stuff like that. So I know like graduation's coming up really quick and everything. So you know, you can prepare yourself. And then also, I mean, it's kind of scary, but we're gonna get new ninth graders too in June. So like all the ninth graders over in the AMP service are gonna come up here, and that's okay though. You could be nice to them, all the scrubs and stuff. Just, you know, don't throw them in trash cans. Don't throw pennies at them. That's jacked up. That's mean. Okay. I mean, I hope I'm not giving anybody ideas, but you know. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and do this. If you guys are ready, I hope you guys brought your Bibles because we're getting to the Word tonight. Is that cool? Can we get to the Word? Let's do it. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Well, Father God, Lord, we thank you today, Father. We just want to honor you, Father God, Lord, for all the things that we have, Father God. You know, Lord, I know it's the American celebration of Mexican Independence Day, but Father God, even greater than that, Lord God, you know, all jokes and all kidding aside, Father God, Lord, we thank you because, Father, you know, each and every day we can walk in freedom, and we can walk in victory, and we can walk in the truth of your word, Father God, Lord, just as we've been talking about this battle, this life that we face, Father God, as the ups and downs can come, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you are showing us and teaching us, Holy Spirit, the victory we can have, that no battle is too great for our God, that no challenge is too difficult for us to face, Father God. So Lord, I just pray right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, that as we look into your word today, God, that you would show us and you would teach us, Lord God, that you would expose to us, Father God, the truth of what this all means, how we can live each and every day, Father God, away from defeat, that we can live inside of victory, Father God. So Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears. God, I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts, God, that you can speak into us, Lord God, that we can leave this place changed from the inside out, God. And Father, as we pray these things tonight, God, just as we always do, God, we don't just pray for ourselves, but Father, we pray for each and every church in the Inland Empire, Father God, for Judson Baptist, Father God. Lord, we pray, Father God, for Emmanuel, Father. We pray, Lord God, for Abundant Living, God. We pray, Father God, for Wildwood, Father. We pray for each and every church and youth ministry that's meeting this week, Lord God. As they open up the word, as they talk about you, Lord God, as they seek your face, God, I pray that you'd bless them just as you've blessed us today, Father God, regardless of denomination, Father God. If they're talking about you, Jesus, Lord, we know that we're brothers and sisters along with them. So, Father, we lift them up today just as we lift ourselves up, God, that you'd speak to them as much as you speak to us. So, Father, we thank you, we honor you, we worship you, God, this evening. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's do this. Okay, so we've been talking about the armor de Dios. The armor de Dios. We've been talking about the armor of God the past couple weeks. And it's kind of exciting because, you know, it's not just something you guys learn in Sunday school. This isn't just another really neat lesson that kind of fits into really good illustration and stuff like that, you know, even though it does. You know, the thing is, this is real stuff. This is no joke. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the truth of the matter is we fight battles each and every day, whether your battle is against depression, whether your battle is against self-esteem, esteem issues, whether your battle is against certain addictions and temptations that rest, whether your battle is with your family, you feel like maybe things just aren't getting along, things are crumbling apart. Maybe your battle is with something as simple as lying and gossiping. I don't know. Whatever your battle is, maybe your battle is just getting up on time and reading your Bible. Whatever the battle is that you face each and every day, whether it's different or the same, whether it's a big one or a little one, you know, we face battles each and every day. And, you know, God's fully aware of that. God's fully aware. As a matter of fact, as we mentioned before, that, you know, one of the things Jesus promised us, unfortunately, he said, in this world, we'll have trials. We'll have tribulations. We'll have difficulties in our life. You know, but God just didn't say, hey, you know, tough luck, too bad, I hope you make it. You know, God equipped us with certain things in our lives so that we can live a life to where we don't have to get beat up. We don't have to feel horrible about ourselves. We don't have to just kind of wander through and just kind of be a plaything for the devil, a plaything for this world, a plaything for our emotions. But, you know, God has given us certain things in our lives, certain spiritual blessings, certain privileges, certain authorities in our life that instead of life ruling us, we can rule life. Instead of greed ruling us, we can rule over our desires. Instead of our relationships just spinning out of control in life, that we can take hold of these things and we can live a life of purity. We can live a life of sanity all around us. You know, in Ephesians 6, verse 13 through 18, they're pretty familiar verses. If you've been around church for any number of years, you've heard these verses before. But there's something we've been learning about that's just a little bit different than before. You know, we've been looking into this and kind of seeing things through a new set of eyes. In Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, you know, the Bible's talking to us about this armor, about the equipment God's given us to live victoriously in life. You know, it says right here in Ephesians 6, 13, I just want to read it to you real quick as we've been talking about it. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Why? Because you're in a battle. Why? Because you need protection in your life against these things, that you would be able to withstand in the evil day, which is kind of like every day, and having done all that we can do to stand. So stand therefore, a lot of standing, having girded your waist with truth as a belt, having put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so we're standing in the peace of God. It says, above all, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation that would renew our mind, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. For me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So here's this whole discussion about that the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit's writing to us. I mean, here he is. He's locked up in jail fighting this fight. Could you imagine being locked up in jail for preaching about God, about telling people about how good God is? I mean, he's got to be thinking in his jail cell. He's got to be thinking when he was chained to this prison guard. He's got to be thinking, gosh, did I do something wrong? Gosh, how can I reach people for Jesus? You know, gosh, where did I misunderstand? He's like, gosh, did I do something wrong that I'm in this position? And he's fighting all these doubts inside of himself every day. He's fighting these feelings of inadequacy. He's fighting these feelings that say, gosh, I'm such a screw up. I'm such a mess up. I can't do anything right. He's probably fighting these feelings that I just want to sock this kind of face and then just run away and escape jail on my own. He's going to be fighting all these type of things inside of him. And here he's saying, we got to stand firm so that we don't give in to these thoughts. You know, last week we looked at all the armor, you know, the belt, and we looked at the breastplate of righteousness. We look at these things, and it all boiled down to knowing who you are in Christ, because it protects your heart and your mind. And God's truth keeps it all together. It depends on where you stand, where your peace comes from, whether your peace comes from God or somebody else, or some type of, you know, how good your day is. And then we looked at, you know, this fight is really a fight that you have to fight with your faith. You got to fight back with the Word of God and all these things. And when you really look at it, you know, someone who knows their stuff, someone who's, I mean, in it to really get victory in life, someone who's in life to get as much as they can out of life, has a certain mindset. You know, I mean, someone who's been inside of a battle, whether it was Vietnam, whether it was the Korean War, whether it was the first Iraq War, which is kind of weird because I think like some of you guys don't even remember that, so it means I'm old. That was like when New Kids in the Block. Anyway, people who've been through the Gulf War and stuff like that, you know, people who've been in battle and they've been through fights, you know, there's a certain attitude, there's a certain mindset they've had because they've been in firefights, because they've been fighting for their lives, because they've had people around them who've been in perilous danger. There's a certain mindset that a warrior has that's different than some of us who just, the closest we've got to battle is like Halo 3, killing aliens, and like, you know, I mean, that's like the closest you've gotten to throwing like sticky bombs and stuff at aliens. You know, there's a difference. There's a difference in the way they think. I mean, and if we're going to live life, if we're going to fight these battles, and if we're not just going to fight these battles, but if we're going to win them, I mean, really come out on the other side living in the victory of God, then there's certain things we have to know, certain ways we have to think, certain things we have to do about the way we live life to be able to put this armor on and use it effectively. See, in Ephesians 6:18, the Bible comes around and says Paul says this. He says, look, here's the armor. Here's what it is. Here's how you fight. And then because it says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with the perseverance and the supplication for all the saints. See, he begins to explain, it's not just these things, but it's what you do with it. It's how your brain works when it comes to these things. It's how your heart speaks with these things. He says, you know, a person who's really a warrior does these things. They have the attitude and they have the mindset of prayer. They have this mindset of constant communication with God. You know, the warrior speaks like a warrior. When he talks, certain things happen. When he makes threats and advances, this isn't like, I'm gonna get you, fool. I'm gonna get you after school. By the flagpole, fool, I'm gonna get you. It's not like that. It's like when he says, I'm gonna get you, you're like, oh snaps, he's really gonna get me. Where are my friends at right now? Okay, call the police, get the security guard with his mace, I need some help. You know, it's like this guy. When he talks, things happen. When he talks, knees tremble. When he talks, the trees are like, get me out of here because I'm gonna get chopped down. You know, all of a sudden things, I mean, it's like one call and you're done for. It's like The Sopranos or something like that. You know, I'm gonna get you, sucker. And a warrior with a warrior mentality knows the language. He's praying with all prayer and with all supplication. Prayer, I mean, that word prayer is like a general prayer. The word prayer means that you're praying for blessing. You're praying for things to happen. You're praying for things to happen in your life. Supplication is a fancy way of saying that, you know what? You know, supplication is a fancy way of praying for rescue. It's praying for other people and for things to happen, for God to rescue us from evil. And that's exactly what battle is. You know, a battle is about gaining ground and winning and gaining things. That's why you go into battle is to accomplish a goal. That's what prayer is. Prayer is when we pray for things to accomplish a goal. Whether your prayer is for your grades, whether your prayer is for your future, whether your prayer is for your parents, whether your prayer is just for you to not like wig out in the middle of school, whatever your prayer is, you're praying for advancement. You're praying for what God calls a blessing. And all of a sudden, when you begin to get supplication, it's like it's all of a sudden like you're going on the defense. You're trying to prepare and set yourself up. You're praying that God would keep you from these things. God, this temptation's come up, so I need some help here. Or God, you know, my mom's going through a really hard time. She's really stressing out because problems with your mom and dad. Or maybe you're thinking, you know, there's problems with a job. So all of a sudden you go into supplication and you're praying that God would keep people from evil things. And it's exactly what a warrior does. He advances. He sets up defense. He strategizes about the way things should be and the way things are going to happen. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of my favorite verses, because it's only like three words long, one of the first verses I ever memorized. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Be in constant communication and communion with God. You don't have to be talking to be in a prayerful attitude. You should be aware of God's presence. That's what it is. You should be aware that God's around you. That's what it is. That's what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Be in constant awareness of who God is and where he is in your life. That he's just one word away. There's just one four-letter word, help, away. Pray without ceasing. I mean, that's where a warrior knows. Yeah, and there's this really cool verse in Colossians. It kind of breaks it down. In Colossians 4, just a couple pages over, 4 verse 2, it says this. It says, continue earnestly. Attitude of prayer, baby. Not just like, Lord, bless us today, and then you fall asleep. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. It's like, you know, hacking and slashing, spiritually. You know? I mean, swinging a sword like you mean to cut somebody. Continue earnestly in prayer. Not boring prayer. Powerful prayer, like, You're shaking the roof of prayer. Kind of cool. Being vigilant with all thanksgiving, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open a door. That means opportunity. Whenever a door is open, talk about it, that means it's an opportunity or something new. It says that pray that God would open a door to us for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest. Kind of an interesting word. Manifest as I ought to speak. It's talking about saying these words to our God. When you speak out loud, not just like in your head prayers, because those are cool. In your head prayers are cool, because we all do them, and they're really easy. But out your mouth, speaking these words, prayer. It says, say these prayers so that God can bring us an opportunity, so that he can make it manifest. See, these verses say that when you pray earnestly and vigilantly, when you pray like you mean it, now listen up, because this is difficult to understand sometimes. When you pray, the Bible's telling us things can actually go from words to being spiritual things to being physical things. Now, I'm not saying like, Lord, I pray for a nice warm bowl of Top Ramen. Boing! It's not like I dream a genie or something like that. But what it's saying is this. It's not like rubbing a magic wand. But what it is, when you pray, things can physically happen. It can literally change the attitude and the atmosphere of your life. It can change the course of events that are to come. Because when you pray like you mean it, when you pray with the authority of God, when you pray like you actually believe God is who he says he is, when you do that, it says it can make manifest. It could take something that's out of nowhere, and he says he can bring it to be because of the words that you speak. That's not something like a weird new age thing, but what it means is that if you have no courage in your life, you can begin to pray, and God can gather courage inside of you, and all of a sudden you aren't afraid anymore. You can be anxious, and you can begin to pray, and God can manifest peace inside of your life. You can begin to pray for healing in a body, in a mind, in a soul, in a relationship. You can begin to pray these words out of your mouth, and they go to God. And the Bible says that he can open a door, make a way, and manifest it. Because you speak it. See, that's where warfare is. That's where battle happens. That's what happens is warriors and captains and generals gather around a table with little toys on them with a map, and they begin to make plans, and they move the little boat here and the little toy tank here, and they draw up plans, and they send it to and they speak these things. We're gonna go here, and then we're gonna flank, and we're gonna do this, and then we're gonna do that. And they speak these things over this table, over this computer program, over these GPS maps, and they speak this plan, and they send it out, and all of a sudden, within weeks and months, the plan comes into play. And the words that they spoke physically happen. Because they did something about it. The same thing happens. That's what prayer does for us. When there's a problem or a challenge, if we speak these words to God, God somehow, within his power, moves things into being in places. I mean, if you're looking for a summer job, if you're looking for a better relationship with your mom or your dad, if you're looking to get something out of your life or into your life, you begin to pray it. All of a sudden, you become a warrior who knows the language. You're praying with all prayer and with all supplication. You're on the offense and then the defense. You know, I love it because it focuses you. It gives you hope when you don't have hope, and it builds your faith. You know, Jude 1:20, it says, pray in the spirit because it builds up your most holy faith. And if you have no faith, then you pray in the spirit and you pray to God, and it builds up your most holy faith when you don't have any. So that when you speak, God hears you and God's able to do things on your behalf because of your faith. See, a warrior knows the warrior language. A warrior speaks like a warrior. When a warrior speaks, that means something's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, the warrior knows his name. A warrior knows the name he fights for. You know, and back in Ephesians, that next verse, we were looking at Ephesians 6:18 and 19. If you guys got your finger there, I want to read this part to you because it kind of gets cool. It says this. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance, the supplication, the praying for that God to keep us from evil for all the saints. And then it says in verse 19, it says here, now for me, he says, pray for me that the utterance, the words would be given to me, that I can open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of this gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may be able to speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then he says, you know, look, fight with me, fight for me alongside of me so that I can fight with boldness, with authority, that I don't have to be scared, that I don't have to be afraid. But when I go into this battle, because I'm in prison for what I'm doing, he says, when I go out there, that I can be, I don't have to be scared. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be worrisome. You know, for all of a sudden, you know, God, you know, a warrior, man, someone who's out there, someone who knows where they're fighting for, they fight with boldness. It's kind of like World War II. You know, we all know World War II stories, of course. I'm sure we do. If you don't, you know, World War II, you know, the Americans were fighting against the Japanese. And as Americans began to win, you know, of course, I'm sure you've all heard of the Japanese kamikaze fighters. Everybody nod, say yes, the kamikaze fighters. If you don't, I'm going to explain it to you right now. If you don't, that's okay, because not everybody's good at history. But, you know, the kamikaze fighters were the ones on the Pacific where the American Navy was coming out, and the battleships and the cruisers and, like, the big old aircraft carriers. I mean, literally thousands of people on these aircraft carriers. And the kamikaze fighters were these young people, kind of just a little bit older than you guys. And their whole purpose was to fly in these little tiny planes filled to the brim with fuel and a torpedo. And they would fly in. Their whole mission wasn't to come home. Their whole mission was to crash into these big boats, these big American destroyers and battleships and boats and ships, and to destroy them. You know, they were human missiles, and they all fought in the name of their emperor. You know, they knew that they were so sold out to this. And I'm not telling us that that's what we need to do. But there's a certain thing you've got to realize there, is that they were so sold into this battle. They were so sold into their country. They were so sold into the belief that who their emperor was and the name of their emperor, that they would give their lives readily, knowing that it's not like I might die, I possibly, but they were knowing that they would die for this thing, for this name of Japan, for this name of their emperor. And they would do this with all boldness. I mean, they would go. And no one would come back because they did their job, whether they died doing it or whether they slammed in the ship. I mean, that's what they did. Yeah, they knew the name behind them. They were fighting for the nation. Now, fast forward a couple decades, and we look at in Iraq. When America invaded Iraq, the Americans would pull up, and all the Iraqi soldiers, instead of shooting or firing back, they'd throw up their arms and say, oh, we give up, we're done, no more, it hurts. And they would stop. And instead of fighting for Saddam Hussein, instead of fighting for the Iraqi nation, instead of fighting for what they had, the military would roll up and they would just throw their weapons down. I mean, by the dozens. I mean, the casualties in the fighting were so much lower because instead of the Iraqi military fighting, they surrendered because they had no confidence in the name that they fought for. There was no boldness. They weren't willing to fight the American military because they knew that they were losing. And they knew that the cause they were fighting for was lame. They knew it wouldn't last. They knew Saddam Hussein was kind of, you know, cuckoo. And they had no boldness or authority inside of them. They had the weapons. They had the tanks. They had the military, but they didn't have any authority. See, which way do we face? When the battle comes, do you give up and do you surrender? Or are you willing to go to the end with this? Are you willing to go to the deepest depths of embarrassment for your God? Are you willing to go for the deepest depths of pain for your God? Or are you kind of like, well, when it's cool, when it's easy, when the movies aren't premiering on Wednesday, I'm gonna be at church. You know, when you know, how sold into this are we? How much of a warrior mentality do we have? Do we just give up whenever it gets difficult? You know, the Bible says this in Philippians 2:9-10. I want to read this to you real quick. It's just in the next page. In Philippians 2:9-10, the Bible says this. There says, therefore, God has highly exalted him, capital H, Jesus, and given Jesus the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's everything. That's heaven, earth, and hell, man. If it's in heaven, if it's on earth, or if it's in hell, anything that hears the name of Jesus has to submit itself to him. No matter how wicked, no matter how awesome, no matter how lame it is, it doesn't matter how good it is, it has to bow its knee to Jesus, because Jesus is in charge. Everything has to listen to Jesus. It's not like your substitute teacher where you're like, whatever. This is it. Because Jesus put the smack down. Jesus will make it known that he's in charge. Seriously. And like when Jesus comes in, you know, you're either like, I'm with this dude, or like, oh, snaps, I'm scared. You know, it says every knee would bow to the name of Jesus. So this is a name that we have. If we're a warrior, if we're fighting for God, if we're in this to face these things in front of our face, in front of our eyes, in front of our life, then we need to know that the name that we're fighting for, Jesus Christ, should give us boldness and authority, because that's us. I mean, seriously, you know, the difference is this, is that, you know, when you know what name you're fighting for, if you get in trouble, you know that that name's going to back you up. I mean, if you're fighting for the American military, you know that you're not going to get left behind. You know that they're going to come get you. I mean, you know, gee, you watch some of these, you watch these war movies, and even the soldiers that get killed, as much as they pick up their dead bodies and they drag them off the battlefield, because you don't leave a man behind. I mean, even for a dead body, even for as much as they possibly can, they do these things because you're fighting for the name of the American military. And the American military backs you up. In Afghanistan right now, in the battles that come along, if there's a firefight and a platoon or they get in trouble, if they get on the phone and within 15 minutes, anywhere in Afghanistan, within 15 minutes, no more than 15 minutes, you will have an airship flying into the scene to bomb the heck out of the entire area. Whether it's a missile, whether it's a warthog coming after you, whether it's jet fighters coming in to bomb the heck out of the place. All you got to do if you're in the military in Afghanistan is make one phone call. In 15 minutes, the place is nothing but black scorched earth, because you're fighting for the American military. That's the name they fight behind. The name you live for is Jesus Christ, and every knee should bow. That when you're in need, when you're in a firefight, when you have no strength of your own, that if you call upon the name of Jesus, then he'll open up a door and give you words to speak with boldness in less than 15 minutes. See, that's how you can go into any type of situation, whether your family's falling apart, whether school is upside down, whether you're just going through certain temptations and addictions, whether you're going through an identity struggle within you that you don't know if it's this way or that way. You can call on God's name. And because you can know who you are in Jesus Christ, you can come with boldness and authority. That's what it is. That's a warrior. I mean, when you're a warrior and you know that the people behind you, you can fight alongside, because they're not going to turn. They're not going to run. You know, that the king is going to send reinforcements to get you out of that situation. That there's going to be a helicopter and a cavalry coming in to rescue you. That's what we fight. That's how you need to fight, knowing that you're on the winning side, knowing that God is for you. Who can be against you? You need to know that there's more for you than there are against you. You need to know that God's called you to be the head, not the tail. I'm going to throw a lot of verses at you guys right now, but this is the truth of the matter, because I'm sick and tired of seeing these things happen to us. I'm sick and tired of seeing, you know, people fighting for a losing name of alcohol. I'm sick and tired of teenagers fighting for the losing name of lust and perversion. I'm sick and tired of teenagers fighting for the wrong name of depression and suicide. Because look, all those names, all those things are going to lose. All those things are going to fade away from money and greed and popularity and these things. I mean, I'm telling you, man, those names are kind of cool. They'll get you somewhere. But the truth of the matter is, if you fight underneath these names, you're going to get left behind. And when you call for reinforcements, they're not going to be there. And I'm going to tell you, if you fight for these things, if you fight to hold on to these little things, these little G gods in your life, then when it comes around and when the rubber hits the road and you need help, boyfriend's not going to be there for you. Especially if you don't know who Jesus is. Because you're going to call for help. You need to get a busy signal. But when you call, as a warrior should, on his commander, on Jesus Christ, whatever the battle is that you're facing, he'll be there to help you and rescue you. He'll be there to get you through it. He'll be there to hug you when you need a hug. He'll be there to send people in your way, your church, your way, when you need advice or help. I mean, that's what Paul was doing. He was calling out. He was talking like a warrior. He says, you know, we need to pray. We need to talk about this. We need to get a strategy. We need to talk to God about this and see what he says about it. I need more faith, so I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to get before God, and I'm going to begin to talk out loud. I'm going to begin to yell and shout and cry and spit at that ceiling to make sure it gets up to God. And he said, you know what? all boils down, I know that I'm fighting for the right name. I'm not going to be left behind. What I'm fighting for is valuable and worthy. Not something that's going to leave me high and dry. Not something that's going to leave me with a disease. Not something that's going to leave me with a broken heart. Not something that's going to leave me with an empty bank account. Not something that's going to leave me when things get difficult. But I'm fighting for the real thing, the real deal. See, that's a warrior's attitude when it comes to fighting for the real thing. That's what it takes. So I don't know where you stand or on what side the battle you're on. But you got to take a look at yourself and say, you know, where am I at? Or even just ask yourself this, you know, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I like God, church is cool. But have you just been sitting back and taking it? You just been just taking it to the gut as the world's been sucker punching you? Because you need to stand up and fight. You need to open your mouth and begin to shout out a couple things, the promises of God. You need to get into this thing. And maybe you need to step up your game. You don't got your Bible? Better bring one. Otherwise, you're going to go out to battle naked. You don't want to do that. Can you imagine? I don't know if you've ever been beat up. It kind of sucks. Been there in sixth grade. Man, that sucked. I don't know if you've been beat up, but it sucks. Now imagine getting beat up naked. Okay, let me tell you, that would suck even more. Okay? I mean, really? And you need to step up your game. Pray a little bit more. Memorize a verse. Bring a notebook to church. Take some notes. Might even help you out in school if you take notes in church. I'm just saying. Just saying. Learn how to take notes. Come on, let's do it. Because you know what? I'm out to fight. I see too many empty seats. And I know we just separated junior high, senior high. But there are too many empty seats in this room. So I don't know if you're ready, but I'm ready to fill this place up. Shoot. Because I want the main sanctuary. Give it one day. I want the main sanctuary. We'll be there. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm ready to fight. Anyway, because I think something I got tonight. Let's give him praise. Cool.